I'll read a few verses that we may not turn to for sake of time, but I would like to invite you to join me in the book of Proverbs, once again, right around the middle of your Bible, and we'll start this morning at least in Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7, and I'll give you one scripture before I read the one in Proverbs. Again, just if you want to write it down, Proverbs chapter 7, and if you would hold your spot there. And I invite you to join me as we make our confession together here. Those of you online, come on and join us as well, if you're able, all right? So, ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. You sound great. Let me give you this scripture from Ecclesiastes, if you just want to write it down, the words will be on the screen. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 10 reads, if the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. In the Bible, the word wisdom means skills for godly living. Skills for godly living. The word wisdom can just mean skills for living in general. But in the Bible, wisdom, at least this way, means skills for godly living. And just as sharpening an axe can make the work more efficient and more effective and fruitful, so wisdom makes us more efficient and fruitful. The word there is success. Sharpening an axe brings the success of more efficient work. Wisdom brings the success of God's approval, his blessings, and living a life that bears fruit for his glory. So this morning, that's the one to focus on those three words as the title of the message this morning. Wisdom brings success. Wisdom brings success. And the kind of success God gives, the scripture says, is a good success. I've seen this happen on a couple of occasions just over the years of someone who, not personally that I know, came into a lot of money, but I remember even some athletes who, a couple of them are coming to my mind right now, back when I was a kid, they had some big win or some big event they did in a sporting event, and it propelled them right into the media and the top of everything. And they were on the talk shows and car, you know, the money and everything associated with it. And it seemed to really just, their lives just spiraled down. You've probably even heard of people who can win like so much in a lottery and then end up bankrupt. So there is a success, if you want to call it that, that the world might call success, but it can be temporary and short-lived. And without true wisdom, that's not the success that God gives. The success God gives is wisdom that is beneficial not only in time, but for all eternity. So wisdom brings success. And the book of Proverbs gives us four action steps that we can take so that, and this is what I want to emphasize this morning, so that we develop a lifestyle of growing in wisdom. It's not just, I need wisdom for this one event coming up. I need wisdom for every day of my life and in every area of my life. So I need God's wisdom. And so to develop seeking God for wisdom as a way of life, I believe there are four action steps here that I see in the book of Proverbs. I'd like to share them with you this morning. Proverbs chapter 7, I'll begin there. Proverbs chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. It says, my son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and keep my law as the apple of your eye. The apple refers to the pupil. Keep it right in the middle of your eye. Then verse 3, bind them on your fingers and write them on the tablet of your heart. Would you say bind them and write them? So here's the first action step that I believe that we could take to develop a lifestyle of growing in wisdom is to look. Look. And I'll keep it to simple, one word, okay? There'll be look, listen, learn, and live. You don't have to write that down right now. We'll go over it. But right now, look. He says, write them, bind them. How many of you are familiar with this phrase? Out of sight. You know, okay. The Bible is so practical. Out of sight, out of mind. In the book of Deuteronomy, when someone asked Jesus, what is the most important commandment of all? This is what he said, Deuteronomy chapter 6. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. And then he connected it to a second commandment about loving your neighbor as yourself. But that context in Deuteronomy started off with loving the Lord with everything in us. Then it says, and this word which I give you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach these words diligently, impress them on your children over and over again. This is what he says. Right, he says, put it tied around your finger and keep it as a frontlet between your eyes and write it on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. He's saying you got to have constant reminders to keep this word in front of you. Constant reminders. Would you say that with me? Constant reminders. So we need to always have something there that just as that reminder to look at, to focus on with our eyes. And this is what will help us stay on the right path. So I would say it like this. First of all, look in God's word for truths to live by. We're talking about look. Look in God's word for truths to live by. This is what I try to encourage you to do. When you read a chapter in the book of Proverbs, look for something there that you could take. I would say, I call them a takeaway. I'm not the only one who says that. But look for a truth that you can live by to apply. So what is your takeaway? What did you get out of that chapter? And I believe it's helpful to do this. I believe it's helpful to write it down and to share it with someone else. So write it and share it. Would you say that with me? Write it and share it. I took a little legal pad. Doesn't matter. Maybe as you, if you look at my Bible here, you see all the pen marks and the colors and stuff. So that's just me. That might not work for you. You might have it on your phone and you can highlight it on your phone or whatever. You gotta find what works for you. But whatever it is, you got to do it and keep it in front of you. So look in God's word for truths to live by, and then look for godly examples to fellowship with. So look in God's word for truth, look for godly believers and godly examples to fellowship with. That's so important. I believe, I think I'd go back to that, writing it down and discussing it. That is watering the seed of the word. That's getting that seed in our heart and it's watering it so it bears fruit. Because Jesus said, as soon as the word is sown in the heart, the devil will come to try to snatch it out. It says immediately. And so to guard that, it's helpful to either write it or at least share it with someone, to share it, and it helps to take root in us. So look in God's word, look for godly examples. And then I would say this, look at creation and life. Look at creation. What did the Proverbs say? Go to the ant. Check her out. She's wise. Watch her. Because she prepares her food in the summer when there's abundance so that she's not hungry in the winter when there's scarcity. He said, I went by the field of the slothful. I looked on it and I saw it and I considered it well. See how important it is to look. This is what the Bible says in Proverbs 17:4. Let me just read it to you. Proverbs 24. It says this, wisdom is in the sight of him. That's our focus. Wisdom is in the sight of him who has understanding, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth, all over the place. It has to do with our focus. It's not just our physical eyes, it's our focus. The New Living Translation says, keep their eyes glued on wisdom. So we have to have reminders to keep it in front of us. So would you say look? And would you say listen? So wisdom brings success. Look and listen. Again, I'll read a few verses here in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4, if you're right there in chapter 7, you can look back to Proverbs chapter 4. Oh, let me share this real quick before I read that. I just read the article this morning about just generations. And this generation that was born, they, you know how they have baby boomers, Generation X and Z and all that. This generation born from 2013 till the present is already showing signs of disconnection. And here's in our, we live in a digital age and it's not bound to the younger people. The digital age in which we live can make us easily distracted and sometimes detached, so that even children becoming detached from family members, detached from their friends and peers, or we can have that happen to us at any time. And I believe that's one of the reasons that we can struggle with depression when we spend so much time on like the social media, because God made us for community and we need each other. So digital, distracted, and sometimes detached. This is what it says in Proverbs 4:20. It says, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear. Isn't that practical? You got to do it like this. Because again, we're easily distracted. Can't we just admit it? I believe we have to really focus to give our full attention. I say it like this. I believe listening is a learned art now. Listening is a learned art. So he says, incline your ear, and then do not let them, here he goes again back to look, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them where? In the midst of your heart. I will come back to that. Verse 22. For they are life to those who find them, these words, and health to all their flesh. Verse 24, keep, guard, protect your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues or the outgoings of life. The New Living Translation says, your heart determines the course of your life. Here's the potential of the good and bad. If what we listen to can get in our heart, and then it affects how we live. And if you think I'm exaggerating there, then maybe you can explain this to me after the service. Why are companies, not a company, why are companies and businesses paying millions and millions of dollars for 30 seconds of our eyes and ears tonight? Because they know if they can get our eyes and our ears for 30 seconds, it can get in our heart and they can get our money. That's ultimately what they want. I'm not putting them down. I'm just saying they understand how we work. Would you say wisdom? Wisdom. Bring success. Look and listen. So to develop a lifestyle of listening to God and God's wisdom, this is what it says in Proverbs 19:27. Again, I'll read it to you. Proverbs 19 and verse 27. Says, cease listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. Please, please, oh my goodness, let's heed this. If we stop listening, we're gonna get off the mark somewhere. Cease listening, it doesn't say you might, cease listening and you will stray. Man, do you see how important it is to keep ourselves, a lifestyle, looking to the Lord, looking and listening to his word and not isolating ourselves, but being in fellowship, but keeping ourselves, keeping our hearts and our ears open, listening. We always need to listen to what the Lord has to say because what he says is important. I believe it's a lifestyle. And then the scripture that Brother Mark quoted for me this morning, let me read that to you. It's James chapter 1, if you want to write it down. And again, this is gonna be my scripture. This is what I'm gonna write down and meditate on this week, okay? So I'm gonna write it and I'm gonna share it with you now. So I'm practicing what I preach, okay? But let me read it to you. James 1, 19 and 20. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. In fact, could we just read that off the screen here together? Would you read that verse with me? Ready? So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Then verse 20 says, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Our human wrath does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So he's, and I believe we need the power of the Holy Spirit to do this. We cannot, remember what he's, no man can control the tongue. We can be so, have a tendency to do just the opposite. I'm quick to speak, slow to listen, and quick to get angry. I think maybe the quicker we are to speak, the quicker we are to sometimes maybe express anger. So to have that under the control of the Holy Spirit, say, Lord, I'm coming to you now and I'm asking for help. I want to believe you for grace. Help me to be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to get mad. Y'all are good. That's good, y'all. I appreciate your heart because I'm right there with you. Wisdom brings success. Would you say that with me? Wisdom brings success. Would you say look, listen, and learn? And that's the third one. So look, listen, and learn. Again, Proverbs, I'm going to go back to chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. And this is what the scripture says in verse 5. Proverbs 1:5 says, a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. So again, that continual, it's not just I hear it one time, but I'm continually hearing so that I continually grow in wisdom. It's a way of life. A wise man will hear and increase learning. And then verse 9 says this. I'm sorry, chapter 9, verse 9. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 9 says, give instruction to a wise man and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. I want to come back to that word learning. Verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. See, if we really want wisdom, the wisdom of God, we got to have a right attitude toward God. Fear of the Lord means we don't blow him off. We don't take him lightly. It means he is God and we are not, and we are such awe and reverence of him and his holiness and yet amazed at his great love for us, of what he would do, that even though our sin separated us from him, he said, I love you so much, I can't allow you to stay separated from me. I'm gonna punish my own sinless son on a cross to suffer and die to pay for all the sins you ever commit. And if you would just put your faith in him and trust him and believe me, I'm gonna not only forgive all of your sin, I'm gonna give you my very righteousness, and I'm gonna send my spirit to come live in you, to help you live a life that bears fruit for me, and I'm gonna get you to come be with me for all eternity. I'll share this real quick. It just kind of hit home to me that as a father, I wish I could make a perfect world for our daughter. Just because I don't want to see her, you know, whatever, going through tough times, challenges, or whatever, even disappointed, hurt. And I was again awakened to my own limits. My heart is there, but I can't. I can't make a perfect world for her or me or anyone else. But I will say this. I'm thankful that we have a father who will make a perfect world. And it's coming, and we get to be a part. But until that birth of that new world, he's given people a chance to get in so they won't miss it. Yes. Thank you, Lord. So it's the fear of the Lord, having that awe and just worship, and I want to please you as my father. That's the beginning of wisdom, and getting to know him is real understanding. The word for disciple in the New Testament, because Jesus commanded us to go make disciples. I looked this word up again. The root of it really means to learn, but it means one who is a learner and a follower of Jesus. It's a committed learner and follower of Jesus. That's what it means to be a Christian, to be a disciple, a committed learner and follower. Would you say that with me? A committed learner and a follower of Jesus. I want to be a lifelong learner. I have got too much that I don't know for me to stop learning. And so I not only want to just learn information, man, I want to be a lifelong learner of God. I will never exhaust his knowledge. I want to be a lifelong learner of his truth. I want to be a lifelong learner of just what's good and life-giving and profitable wisdom. That's my heart. I want to be a lifelong learner. And I believe real listening is not just like we used to do in school. We temporarily memorize it so I can pass the quiz. And now we don't remember any of that stuff. No, I'm not saying any of it, but you know what I'm saying. But I believe real learning is understanding. Real learning is understanding. I love what John Maxwell said. He said, stopping to reflect is one of the most important activities you can do in order to grow. That's what I'm saying. After we read the scripture, it requires just focus. It requires consideration. I'm thinking about this. What does this mean? It's reflection. And I get to share with others discussion. Do you know that many of our universities were started as, popular universities in this nation were started as Christian universities, and they were developed with that purpose of learning to debate and share ideas and learn from one another. And why would we shut people down just because they disagree with us? Why can't we be open and be willing to give and receive? So, because to learn, I've got to listen. If I'm not listening, I can't learn. So when you read a scripture again, think about it. What is your takeaway? And then share it with someone. And I believe, let me read you this scripture too, Proverbs 18:2. Because I believe not only learning and understanding is, of course, important for God's word, but it's important to get to know others that way. If I really want to know a person, I've got to listen to them some and learn where they're coming from. And so to learn and understand, this is what it says in Proverbs 18:2. It says, a fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. The New Living Translation says, they only want to air their own opinions. I learned about opinions years ago from, some of y'all remember the professional basketball player, A.C. Green. He was a Christian, played for the Lakers. One time I took our youth group to see him years ago. He said, opinions are like armpits. Everybody has them and they all stink. Well, I don't know about that. I agree with the part, we all have them. How about that? And there's nothing wrong with sharing our opinions, but am I willing to also listen to someone else? See, I can't, here's how I believe it can work. I believe that when we genuinely listen, we care enough to listen and seek to learn, understand others, then that can bless our relationships. And as Christians, I believe that can deepen our fellowship together because we relate to one another. But I believe in reaching non-Christians, we want to love and care about people. And if I just come at them with a canned speech, I can share the gospel with them. But what if that's not the word they need to hear? Maybe I need to talk with them a little bit and learn what they've been through. Maybe they were raised in a particular, I would say, cult, and we got to address that issue about, is Jesus really God? Or maybe they've been abused and been through just great difficulties, and I may need to share about how the Lord can bring healing to broken hearts. And he cares, and he didn't want that for them. That's not what God authors. He's the comforter of the brokenhearted. He's the healer of the brokenhearted. But you see how we have to listen first in order to reach people, to minister effectively? So look, listen, and then learn. David Jeremiah, many of you are familiar with him, he said this, seek to understand before seeking to be understood. And that's hard to do when you're self-absorbed. Lord, help us. All right. Would you say wisdom? Wisdom. Bring success. Bring success. Would you say look? Look. Listen. Listen. Learn. Learn. And live. So here's the fourth and the last action step, I believe, that will help us ultimately develop a lifestyle of growing in godly wisdom. y'all are doing great. Y'all are so focused. And I appreciate it. I don't take it lightly. I know how you can battle. I battle it myself. Proverbs 15, 24, and then I'll close with the words of Jesus in Matthew 7, okay? Proverbs chapter 15, verse 24. We got to take what we see and what we hear, look and listen, and what we learn ultimately and live it out. Again, skills for godly living, not just so I can win Bible trivia. This is what it says, Proverbs 15, 24. The way of life winds upward for the wise, that he may turn away from hell below. Talking about the importance of a way of life. You see what I'm saying? The way of life winds upward for the wise, that he may turn away from hell. That Hebrew word can mean the grave, it can mean the pit, or hell. Either way, I don't want any parts of them. I just soon keep my path going up. But you see, that's the path of the wise. It winds upward to avoid that destructive path. Would you turn to Matthew chapter 27? I'll close with that. Matthew chapter 7. Before Jesus was arrested that night, he told his disciples, he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And let me back up, because the Bible says that God showed his love for us by demonstrating Jesus dying on a cross. While we were still sinners, he died for us on the cross. He showed us how much he loved us. Jesus said, you show me how much you love me by keeping my commandments. But this is what he said. He said, if you keep my commandments, he said, we're gonna come to you. He said, my Father will love you, I will love you. But he didn't stop there, because God loves the whole world. But this is what he said. I'll love you and I'm gonna manifest myself to you. I'm gonna reveal myself to you. There's something about, see, when we get to learn and understand and live by God's word, we get to know Jesus in a way that we would not get to know him if we don't put his word into practice. And the thing is, and when we live by his word, he's gonna manifest himself. He's gonna reveal himself to us in ways that we would never see if we were in disobedience. See, I can learn information in my mind, but obedience will bring revelation. And I'll get to know him better and get to know his will. And that's really what he wants for all of us. Living by God's word is wisdom that withstands the storms of life. Let me join you there. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus spoke these words, verse 24. He says, Matthew 7:24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I'll liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But the storms came. The wind blew. Verse 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, we can hear it, but if we don't live it, we'll be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Wisdom brings success. Doesn't mean we won't have storms. Jesus said, you will. We're gonna have storms, we're gonna have tribulation, we're gonna probably face persecution to some degree or another. It just comes with the territory. But if we will look into God's word and listen to God's word and learn God's word and live God's word, we will have a success that withstands those storms in life, so that when the storm is gone and the sun is shining again, and ultimately when we see him face to face, we'll still be standing, because we were standing by his grace and on the rock of his foundation. Wisdom brings success. Look, listen, learn, live. Would you say it with me? Look, listen, learn, and live. I want to close with two questions and we'll pray. Would you think about this, please? In what area, I'm just asking you to think about one area right now, would you most want God's wisdom in your life right now? Just one area. Could it be a relationship? Could it be maybe in your work situation? Could it be in your health? You know, the Proverbs have verses related to health. Could it be in your finances? Maybe about education? I don't know that, but whatever that is, would you think about it? What is one area that you want God's wisdom most in your life right now? And then I want to ask you a second question. It's just simply this. What truth will you seek to focus on this week? I mean, you'll look at it. You're going to listen to it. You'll speak it. You're going to try to learn that truth. And ultimately, you want to live out that truth because you believe wisdom brings success. I told you what I'm going to work on. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. I'm going to need help with that. So I'm going to give some attention to it with God's help this week. So what about you? What is yours? I'm not asking you to tell me unless you want to, but I'm just asking you right now between you and the Lord because I'd like to pray for you. Father, I pray that you would help us right now. Would you impress on our heart as we seek you right now? What area do we most need your wisdom in right now as a priority? And then would you guide us into a truth that will help us live that out? If you have one area that you say, I have a bunch of areas, but right now I do have one in mind. You don't need to say anything, but would you just lift your hand? I'd like to just recognize you. So I want wisdom in this one area right now. Thank you all so much. Thank you. Can we stand together? And if you didn't raise your hand, it's okay. I appreciate your honesty. Just continue to seek the Lord. And then when you do have that area, would you ask the Lord for a truth? Lord, what is the scripture? What truth do I need to live this out, to be successful in your eyes? Doesn't matter what the world says. I want to be successful to you. So I pray that you would lead us and guide us. Holy Spirit, Jesus said you would guide us into all truth. Guide us into that living truth even today, that we could start planting and watering that seed and guarding it so that it would bear much fruit. Help us to get it in our heart. Help us to discuss it, share it with others, to take deep roots. We're going to guard our heart because we're going to guard our eyes and our ears. Help us to believe you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing this just simple chorus. You are here moving in our midst. And let's confess this morning that God, he is our way maker, our provider. Let's sing this. You are here.
You are here moving in our midst. I worship you.
Yes, Lord.
I worship you. You are here
in this place,
working in this place. I worship you. I worship you.
You are.
You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are.
Let's sing that again.
You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are.
You are here.
You are here,
touching every heart,
touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart.
Yes, may you do it, Lord.
I worship you. I worship you.
Turning lives around.
You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Yeah, let's confess it, sing it to him.
Way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
That is who you are.
That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are.
Even when I don't see it.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, you never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop, you never.
Let's sing it one more time.
Even when I don't see it, you're,
thank you, Lord.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, you never stop working.
Waymaker,
miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
That is who you are.
That is who. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are.
I'd like to pray a blessing over you. The Lord bless you and protect you. I pray that He would guard you in all your ways. I pray that He would order your steps according to His word and give you wisdom and discernment to live out His will. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and may He flood your spirit, your memories, your thoughts, your emotions, and your body with His shalom. Peace that passes all understanding, joy that overflows, and may you rest in His love today and this week to the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.